Welcome to the Authentic Catholic Feminism podcast series. My name is Dr. Robert Stackpole, and I'm the director of the John Paul II Institute of Divine Mercy, an apostolate of the Congregation of Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Please join me as we explore together the true Catholic vision of the created dignity and unique mission of women in God's plan for His world. Over the past few months, whenever I would speak to anyone about the podcast series I was working on, they would invariably turn to me and reply, "The new Catholic what?" For most of us who lived through the last few decades of the culture wars in Western society, the idea that one could be both a Catholic and a feminist is simply unthinkable. Catholicism and feminism are surely sworn enemies on opposite sides of the fence when it comes to many of the hot issues of the 21st century, abortion and contraception, for example. Many believe that a Catholic feminist must either be selling out authentic Catholicism or selling out authentic feminism. Some accuse so-called Catholic feminism of selling out in both directions. Even worse, the whole movement remains largely unknown outside of Catholic academic circles and a fairly well-kept secret even there. And yet, slowly and quietly, it is having an influence on the formation of Catholic minds and hearts today. For example, through the group called Endow, which, according to their excellent website, seeks to promote a new, more holistic vision of what it means to be a woman. And I quote, "We envision a world where every woman has the opportunities, the knowledge, the courage, and the support to be the best version of themselves, made in the image and likeness of God. And being made in God's image, it is our vision that each woman encounters her infinite value and dignity, untold talents and beauty, each deserving of respect and love. We envision this world because we believe the world needs a renewed feminism with truly feminine leaders sharing the particular genius that is unique to each and every woman." End quote. The new Catholic feminism has its origins in the writings on the dignity of women of Pope St. John Paul II, and especially from section 99 of his encyclical letter, Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life. The Holy Father wrote, "In transforming culture so that it supports the dignity of every human life, women occupy a place in thought and action which is unique and decisive. It depends on them to promote a new feminism, which rejects the temptation of imitating models of male domination, in order to acknowledge and affirm the true genius of women in every aspect of the life of society, and overcome all discrimination, violence, and exploitation." End quote. In a nutshell, the new Catholic feminism proclaims that women have distinctive gifts that they bring to families and to wider society as women, and that we need to welcome and foster those gifts. To begin with, we must learn to distinguish true Catholic feminism from its counterfeits. In fact, as soon as one looks up the meaning of the word feminism, one discovers that there have been a multitude of varieties of feminism over the past 250 years. An authentically Catholic feminism, however, could never fully buy into any of the forms that feminism has taken in the past. Number one, liberal feminism. First of all, the new Catholic feminism is not just a warmed-over version of liberal Enlightenment feminism. Liberal feminism really began with Mary Wollstonecraft's book, A Vindication of the Rights of Women, in 1792, and continued in various ways in the activism and writings of Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony, Simone de Beauvoir, Betty Friedan, and Gloria Steinem. In her book, Feminist Thought, Comprehensive Introduction, in 1989, Rosemary Tong defined liberal feminism as the view that, and I quote, "Female subordination to men is rooted in a set of customary and legal constraints that block women's entrance to and success in the public world. Because society has the false belief that women are by nature less intellectually and physically capable than men, it excludes women from the academy, the political forum, and the marketplace. As a result of this policy of exclusion, the true potential of many women goes unfulfilled. Gender justice, insist liberal feminists, require us first to make the rules of the game fair, and second, to make certain that none of the runners in the race for society's goods and services is systematically disadvantaged. End quote. You know, if that is all that liberal feminism entails, a commitment to social justice in the sense of fair and equal access to public roles, functions, and rewards, then the new Catholic feminism can be categorized as fairly liberal. As we've seen, St. John Paul II promoted, quote, the true genius of women in every aspect of life and society, end quote. In another papal document, his Letter to Women of 1995, he elaborated on this further, and I quote, and what shall we say of the obstacles which in so many parts of the world still keep women from being integrated into social, political, and economic life? As far as personal rights are concerned, there's an urgent need to achieve real equality in every area, equal pay for equal work, protection for working mothers, fairness in career advancements, equality with spouses with regard to family rights, and the recognition of everything that is part of the rights and duties of citizens in a democratic state. A greater presence of women in society will prove most valuable, for it will help manifest the contradictions present when society is organized solely according to the criteria of efficiency and productivity. And it will force systems to be redesigned in a way that favors the process of humanization, which marks the civilization of love. The Holy Father continued, the time has come to condemn vigorously the types of sexual violence which frequently have women for their object, and to pass laws which effectively defend them from such violence. Nor can we fail in the name of the respect due to the human person to condemn the widespread hedonistic and commercial culture which encourages the systematic exploitation of sexuality and corrupts even very young girls into letting their bodies be used for profit. How many women have been and continue to be valued more for their physical appearance than for their skill, their professionalism, their intellectual abilities, their deep sensitivity, in a word, the very dignity of their being. End quote. In this letter, the Pope actually went beyond the call for equal access by women to public functions, to decry by implication such things as rape, spousal abuse, sexual harassment, pornography, and prostitution. In all these areas, and in calling for an end to these forms of injustice, liberal feminists and the new Catholic feminism certainly can find common ground. In the next installment of this podcast series, we will explore this common ground further before we look at the sad story of the corruption and demise of liberal feminism from the late 1960s onward. If you would like to know more about the John Paul II Institute of Divine Mercy, or access the scripts of these podcasts, please visit thedivinemercy.org/JPII. Again, that's thedivinemercy.org/JPII.